and welcome back to the Squadcast, the official podcast of Glasgow Warriors. Thank you to everybody for tuning in once again. And I don't think we covered this off last week, but thank you to everybody who has included us in their Spotify Wrapped for 2023.
Oh, yeah.
Murphy, you're definitely on that list.
Am I?
I've no idea.
Can you see?
No.
Yeah, I'll be on that list somewhere. Yeah.
I know a few people in the building are at least in the top like 5% of listeners. Nice. So that's always good. Thank you for your support. And thank you to everybody for your support as well. If you have Spotify, if you do not have Spotify, thank you for listening on YouTube and Apple Podcasts and the Glasgow Warriors website where you can find all episodes available now. There
good
you go.
Plug.
I've taken Murphy's plug for the week because we are away this weekend. But Murphy, your reaction to our first Champions Cup game last weekend?
I'll go with disappointing, I think is the general feeling, I think, for all the boys. I think we didn't fire too many shots, and we know personally that that wasn't us out there. I think we took a lot of lessons from it, and we've taken a good look at ourselves this week, and we know that we'll come out firing this week against Bayonne.
I was going to say, still three tries in there. So a little bit of a disappointment that we didn't get the fourth right at the end.
Yeah.
Seb had about 2 metres away.
I know.
Shoveled
into touch. No, there was a lot of positives, but if you look in the first half especially, it wasn't us. But the frustrating part is, if you look at all our key indicators that we have for attack, especially on how we want to measure ourselves as in if we do well or not do well, everything we pretty much did, I think 9 out of 10 of them, we hit every single, we hit all 9. And it was just that 10th one, which was a conversion zone, which was kind of letting us down. Frustrating, disappointing, but I think, like I said, we've taken a lot of lessons from it, and we've definitely sharpened our knives for this week because, we don't want to perform like that ever again. But, second half was much better than first, and we can only move forward now.
Yeah, like you said, a wee bit of history this weekend. First time we have ever played Bayonne. First time Bayonne have ever had a home game in the Champions Cup as well, which is I don't know if we're big in Bayonne, but hat tip to you guys for qualifying. We've obviously done a bit of previewed work this week. I mean, aside from them being very up for this competition, as you can see by the fact they drew with Munster and Thomond Park last week. What are we looking for? What are we expecting from those guys?
I think it's a bit of a typical French outfit we're going to be facing. That kind of exciting, awful game they've got, which is kind of typical French, isn't it? They've got... There's some big boys, let's just say. There's a couple of big boppers in there, looking at the front row especially, and there's a bit of flair in the back line, so... Yeah, it'll be a real mix. I think it's not something we've really faced this season before, but we've obviously looked at the team, we've looked at their stars, we've looked at what we need to kind of nullify, and we're going to try and put our game out there instead of having to be on the back foot. We're going to try and put our game forward and play like we should we say.
Well, not that this is a scripted show, but this is the last scripted mention of Friday night against Northampton here at Scotland, because there was a European Champions Cup debut full-on European debut for this week's guest.
Yeah, this week's guest, the big man.
Came on off the bench, put some shots in, and generally did his thing. Max Williamson, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you.
Good to hear from you.
Yes. It's been a good few weeks. Yeah. I was really excited to play in the Champions Cup, although the result didn't go our way. For me, it was still a good experience.
Well, I mean, like you said, it's been a big few weeks for you, not least because you're now officially a Glasgow Warrior. Like we've sort of laughed a bit before in the other features where it feels like you've been around and just unlucky with timings for about the last 12 years at this point. I don't know what that would have made you at the time, like 10. But rewind us back a few weeks to the game against Benetton. You get the tap on the shoulder from John or whoever it is that gives you these taps on the shoulders when you're on the bench. What's your feeling when you're about to go on and make your debut?
It was a bit unexpected, really. I think it was just on the Tuesday morning... got told I was playing, which was a bit shocking, but obviously exciting. And then, I was obviously a bit stressed out, but overall, really exciting experience. As you say, I've been lurking around in the background for a few years, so to finally make my debut was, a dream come true, really.
Murphy, you've played with him at Stirling, am I right?
Yeah, I played a few games with Max at Stirling.
I mean, from a front rower's point of view, you've got Max coming on at the second row behind you. What does that sort of feel like from a confidence voice?
I know Franco won't let me say him, but it's a bit of comfort seeing Maxie come off the bench. But a lump of meat to get behind you in scrum. I played a few times with Maxie. Like you said, and Max said he's had to bide his time. Which I think is the case with a lot of young second rowers. Like, I don't think it comes too fast, like debuts and milestones. So the fact that obviously he's been very patient and waiting his time, and obviously it's now come to him. And what's that, three games now, and yeah, who knows, fourth this weekend possibly, and heaps more. But speak to us about, obviously you played the game, and then what about the media duties afterwards of Wills was apprehending you?
I think your mum might have actually got more of attention post-match. Yeah.
My mum said that she took over because I apparently don't like answering to the media very often, so I think she just liked the camera. Love of the camera, really.
But how good is it to have your family here for that an occasion as
that
well?
That was brilliant. I think they were just excited as me, and obviously all of the years of them driving me all over the country finally to see me play was probably an exciting moment for them, worth the sacrifice.
Just tell us all about, do you know that Wilson is coming to you at this point, or you just turned around and he's there and you're like, oh, here we go again?
I fortunately gave me a 2-minute brief that he was gonna maybe come my way, which I was extremely excited about. But my mum dealt with it very well.
Yeah, no, I mean, it went down very well on that. So thank you to Mr. and Mrs. Williamson for joining them on that.
We have to put an honourable mention out to Mr. Fagerson.
Yes, we do.
100th cap.
Yes, we do. Hat tip.
Yeah. How could you forget?
I got wrapped up in talking about Max's debut. Yes, no, Matt Fagerson, 100th appearance. Fourth set of brothers to be centurions for Glasgow Warriors. You're...
Evans?
No.
Lamont's?
No.
Well, the obvious one's the Horns.
Correct. Think big.
Grays.
There we go. Maxie's got it.
Grays. Who else is there?
Might be a little bit before your time. One's a front rower.
One's a front rower?
Yeah. Not Xander.
No, obviously. Enlighten me.
Gordon and Alan Bullock.
Of course.
From
of course.
The late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
There you go.
Pump would have known that.
Pump probably played with.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah.
And who's the other one?
Was that it? Yeah, Fagerson's the fourth.
Yeah. So yeah, hats off to Matty. Putting a hell of a shift.
He's been in a brilliant piece of form this season. He's won Defender of the Week about 12 times again at this point, I think. So
I know he's been putting in a shift for the past 100 games, is he not?
True.
I remember at school. He left school in, I want to say, June, and he was playing at the tail end of the season when he left school, which was toss mental. And obviously now he's 100 caps, and yeah, Rick, could he push Rob?
I mean, we say this every time, make those noises every time. Probably is the answer to that. There's probably a fair few boys in the squad that could go on and push Mr. Harley if they keep plugging away.
Exactly. Yeah, but Matty, well done.
Anyway, yes, on with the show. We have a list of questions in front of Murphy. Some are on Murphy's phone. Don't hate us. We forgot to put them in the hat this week because it's been a week. But Max, your job is to listen to Murphy reading the questions, answer them as best as you can, and generally just make everybody's, I was about to say Tuesday night because that's when we're recording this, but whatever day of the week they're listening to this, make their day a little bit better.
Nice.
You good?
Ready? Okay.
He's nodding.
Who? This is a double answer question. Who would be the first to die in a zombie apocalypse? And who would be the one to survive?
We should clarify that we're not setting out a zombie apocalypse anytime soon, but if this is a thing.
Good question. I think the easier answer for me is who's going to survive the longest. For me, that would be Tom Gordon. I think he's just... I've changed my mind. Josh Mackay, he's a hunter through and through. Knows exactly what he's doing. He'd be thriving rather than just surviving. I think.
Yeah, they're fishing on his boat.
Yeah, exactly. He is. To be honest, he's designed for a zombie apocalypse coming. So, I would have to say him. And first
to go.
I'm going to say Alex Samuel.
This is position hate all over. Is this only because you used to share a flat with him?
Well, yeah, potentially. I've seen his, I would say, I don't know, he's just not the quickest. I don't know. It is a tough one.
So I say you're saying he's not the quickest. I feel like we're about to have a second row race next week at this point.
Yeah, I'm not the quickest either. Anything, I'm even slower. But.
Well, that was going to be my sort of follow-up question when you said Alex there. Is how much of it is... You're just picking names at this point. How much of it is you're both 6'8", 6'9"? How difficult is it to to hide from a zombie apocalypse, or is there?
It's a great point. It's a great point.
It's a tough place to be.
So, yeah, I'm going to say I'm going to go with Alex Salmon, which you won't be very happy about to link. But
Murph, your thoughts? I mean, you were in strong agreement with Josh McKay, which I think everybody probably is at this point.
That man's built for living in the wilderness for years and surviving off the food on the ground and any animals you can catch. But the first go, I mean, it's Darge is up there purely for how forgetful he is. Like he'd probably run through the first few of them and then after that get caught and he'd be gone. But just in terms of organisation and planning, he's not got it.
Yeah.
Another one that comes to mind is Big Nons. He'd be too friendly. He'd be thinking they're all friends and all of a sudden...
Go and befriend the zombies.
Exactly. He's just such a big friendly giant that you'll think, oh.
I mean, that could go one of two ways. I mean, it could go the way you're expecting it to, or it could be like the king of the zombies.
True.
Nons has just got a kingdom now.
Try to think. All that's going through my head right now is Shaun of the Dead. I'm trying to think who's the best actor that could act like a zombie to make it to the King's Arms or whatever it's called.
I will take those suggestions for next week's podcast.
Speaking of, you look a bit like is it Nick Frost? Nick Frost?
It is Nick Frost. Yeah. I've never had that before, but thank you. Normally, my lookalike is you for some reason. So there we go.
No, you look a bit like Nick Frost. So.
Well, we'll take that. I mean, I'd take his bank balance as well. But that's not going to be.
Oh, that would be nice.
That would be nice. Final bit of this question before we move swiftly onwards to question two. How would you both fare? Would you back yourselves?
I certainly wouldn't put myself as the most likely to survive, but I like to think I could certainly last a few weeks. A few weeks alone. I'm not completely incompetent, just slightly.
Yeah, I would back myself, I'd say. Got a bit of a builder background, bit of handyman stuff with being at home. The first thing I do is get some sort of massive car or truck or something. Literally like, what's that movie? The one with the Twinkies and stuff.
Zombieland,
that's the one. I'd literally do that, get a big car, find any weapon possible and just trek around the country. But yeah, first job would be raiding every supermarket first. Get a massive trailer and fill it. So yeah, I'd back myself.
Anyway, question two.
Two. Who in the squad do you reckon spends all their money on gadgets and like most recent tech that's come out?
Ooh, again, another difficult question. There's just so many people to think about, like 50 people to try and pick from.
Who's got the gadgets on their shopping list this Christmas then?
I don't know. I think Kebs is quite a big spender of items in general. I think he's obviously just having the newborn. Congratulations to him. I think he said he was
baby gadgets.
Baby gadgets. He said he's been going all out on anything. He said he's prepared for everything. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I reckon he's a good contender.
That's great. Yeah, because it's crazy what there is out there now. There's those like new like automatic baby rockers. I've not been looking personally, but it seems to come up on like my Instagram reels or whatever it is, and these things look like they cost like £500 just to rock your kid.
Yeah, I mean, like baby rockers. I've seen people set up like Ring doorbells, but equivalent type things to you know keep an eye in the evening and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's anything you need really.
Yeah, kids are expensive, eh?
Very expensive.
Fancy it anytime soon, or yeah?
Not anytime soon, no.
We should actually give Ollie a little bit of a shout, not least for the newborn on Friday night, but he has now achieved his goal. He's gone past Staino as our most listened episode. So I don't know whether he's just been listening to that for about 3 hours.
Has he actually?
He has, yeah. He has.
That is, have you told him?
No, he hasn't. He can if he listens to this, he can find that out, but I'm not going to go.
That's unbelievable.
There we go. So yeah, Max, that's your target for this
Kebs.
Episode. Yeah.
He's a fan favourite, isn't he?
He is the fan favourite, yeah. I mean, the hair, the time we did it where he just classically did the line breaking, not at all.
Not the white rhino, what's he now called? The slippery hippopotamus.
Thank you, Hugh Jones.
Yeah.
I've actually forgotten the original question. What was the original question?
Gadgets.
Yes. So Kebble's up there.
Kebble's up there with gadgets. I don't really know like what are the most recent gadgets and
no, I've no idea.
What about the media staff? What do you have a lot of tech and gadgets at the moment?
We'll take anything that's going. If anybody's got some tech and gadgets that they want to give us, we'll use them.
What's your most proud gadget?
My personal most proud gadget.
Well, like to what? Use here.
I mean, we're on the Squadcast. We've got to talk about the Squadcast.
We've got the ProFX Mixer 12-channel V2.
Nice.
By?
Them.
Is it not like Sennheiser or whatever it's?
No, the headphones are Sennheiser.
Oh, right.
I actually don't know who makes this, but this is a great audio medium chat. Looking in front of us that you can't see.
Yeah, so if you like those gadgets, that's what we're on.
If you like some Squadcast-related gadgets, we should do merchandise.
We should
do Squadcast merchandise.
Every new episode, we get the face of the guest on.
So, Max, what do you want your face on first, basically?
Ooh,
what gadget do you want your face? We say gadget. We don't have the budget for that. What merchandise do you want?
I was going to say, my face on the ProFX 12V2 would maybe look a bit interesting. So, maybe on some big Sennheiser headphones look a bit better. But
I'm just going to have a Max on each ear. So we're up with this. We should probably move on before this gets weirder. Anyhow, question three.
Right. Who, either your friendship group or the boys at the Warriors, would be the one to cancel plans last minute?
I don't know. We're all pretty terrible for plans in the first place. This is the thing. Like, we often only make plans about 30 minutes in advance of when we actually do them because we're all so disorganized, but
it's about 29 minutes before I normally do, so there you go, you're all good with that.
Yeah, I would guess Fez, you and Ferry, he would I've had him cancel on me a few times, so I'm gonna say him.
So about you and Ewan, that's quite hard to say, and Alex obviously all came through 20s together as well, so you've had a fair amount of practice at knowing what everybody does and doesn't enjoy from a plans point of view.
We do,
yeah,
but still possible to cancel last minute, you know. And he manages to do it quite well, but not that often. I have to say, none of my friends are that bad. None of my friend group anyway are that bad for cancelling. But if I had to pick someone, he would be the man.
Any seriously strange reasons why? Have you had any?
No, he's no. Unfortunately,
what's the typical
not.
One? What is it like? What's he busy doing?
Oh, be like, oh, sorry, bro, I can't. I've got washing to do or something like that. You know.
Does he actually not like you? Is that how much he doesn't
that's
like
what
you?
It is, yeah. Nah, usually it's you know, he's home in East Kilbride quite a lot. That's his other one. Getting free meals apparently.
Well, off mum and dad?
Yeah, off mum and dad. That's
shocking. Shocking. To be fair, this is one thing we were discussing, like going home and you haven't yet obviously got a day off on the Wednesday usually. And then if you're trying to make plans with the boys who you see every single day for about 8 hours in the day, and you're just like, do I actually need to see these guys even more than I already do? But yeah,
these guys also don't make us nice free meals when
no they don't. So maybe yep. Fez has got a point and we should be following in his footsteps. But there's a few boys that strike me. Dobie's one of them. Dobie's favourite excuses. That's how it goes usually. But yeah, like I say, we probably should see each other less because we spend way too much time with each other.
So basically what you're saying, Squadcast, the antisocial podcast. Yeah. The podcast for people that don't want to see each other. Oh dear.
Number four, five.
I was something. Just gonna let you finish with four, to be honest, because that was quite angelic voice there. it's question four, you're good. High notes.
Who do you reckon would cry at a sad movie? Also, have you ever cried at a sad movie? This is time to out yourself.
And if so, which movie? We will judge.
I want to say I have at some point, but I can't currently think that I have. I can't currently think of the movie which I did cry at. I think it would be more like the time rather than the actual movie itself, you know?
So it's probably Marley and Me, it's fine.
But, I mean, that would be completely would be acceptable. But if I was thinking of someone that would, I'm going to go Duncan Mann, I would say he's someone that's in touch with his emotions.
A fairly sensitive boy, I would say, yeah. It's probably fair enough.
You know, nothing wrong with it. It's, you know, but I'm going to say him, I think. I can see that.
Fair it is. Murphy? I'm not asking you if you've cried at a sad movie. I'm just assuming you have at this point.
Yeah. There's an obvious one for me. I've experienced it a few times. Might have giggled at it a few times, which is probably bad. I feel bad now. But Angus Fraser. Him.
The nod of approval from Max in this. You could break the sound barrier with that nod.
Get a sad... Or anything to... Especially with like Marley and Me. Get a movie where a dog dies or like an animal dies that they're really connected to. And it's game over. I think Gus's cat... Well, when we stayed together, I think it was three separate occasions where he was shedding tear. I couldn't help but laugh, which seems terrible because it's like that question that was asked last week, who would laugh in a serious situation?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's not a serious situation, but it's not a situation where you laugh at, but it's honest. It's one of those ones where it's slightly awkward, but slightly funny, and I just can't hold it in.
Yeah, I would say that's fair.
But yeah, Gus is soft at heart. We also found out that he's recently got a new nickname. Well, not recently, I'd say, but it's getting used more often. And Angus Fraser is also referred to as Angie Pangy by his other half.
Excuse me? He's going to love you for this.
Yep. So a few of the boys already know. I think Ollie Smith was the first one to discover it by accident when he got caught. Well, when he got Gus caught here, like... What am I saying? I'm having a stroke. Anyway, Ollie was the first one to discover it when he caught Jenny calling Gus it, and it's now stuck. So, Angie Pangy to cry at sad films is the one.
Max, any embarrassing nicknames you want to share before Murphy decides to out them for you as well?
Even if I had any embarrassing nicknames, they certainly wouldn't be coming out.
It will be taken to the grave.
Yes, certainly.
That's fair.
Speaking of nicknames... I remember this isn't really a nickname, but when Maxie first joined, I was worried for my credentials here. Max Williamson, Murphy Walker, the MW on kit. Because I was worried I'd be the OG MW, and I was worried that he was going to take it and we start mixing kit. But what do you go by? Because I've still got MW in my kit.
Yeah, the first couple of years I was here, I got Max, M-A-X, which I actually quite liked. And then...
Because it's your name.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean,
I didn't do that.
Yeah, exactly. Now I got MMW, so...
Oh, my middle name? Wait. Oh, I was going to guess it.
Sorry, giving the game away.
What'd you say?
Well...
Mike.
Michael, yeah.
Michael. Max, Mike Williamson.
Yeah, so I'm MMW.
Nice. Yeah, because I keep the MW because I was first. Does that make you jealous at all, or is it?
Nope.
It must hurt. It has to hurt.
I prefer MMW, if anything. MW is a bit...
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Because there's time where, obviously, on the physio board, they'll have to put in like initials for who's coming in for certain appointments and stuff.
I'll give it to you, actually, because they don't put MMW, they put M Will instead. So exactly. It's actually starting to get a bit confusing. I don't know what I'm meant to go by. But
so MW is OG, and obviously... I've taken that crown just now, so Matt, you're going to have to wait a while, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Well, we've had position hate on the Squadcast a few times. I don't think we've ever had initial hate, so shall we move on while this remains relatively civil?
Yeah, well, just laying down the law here, Craig. All right, someone's got to do it.
All right.
One more?
We'll go with the last one. Let's go.
Right, this is a bit of a wholesome one. You can be nice to people now.
I mean, after the last one, I think it's probably about time.
Max and I are actually really good friends. We get on. All right?
Yes, no, I can see that.
This is not for you. This is more for the fans because they think we'll probably hate each other now.
No, it's fine. It's Xander that they all think you hate.
Yeah, yeah. They know that.
Love you, Xander. It's fine.
Okay, last one is who in the squad is the one that's always to tidy the dressing room? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like that. Who's always the last one out the sheds that's taking care of everyone, helping with kit, and generally being the good guy?
I think I'm going to say Sheba, so Sean Kennedy. I think he's just, you know, the nicest guy ever, and he's always there to help anyone. So it does feel good. This is a much nicer question.
It does.
I must say, I like I like answering these ones.
We said the nice one to last.
Hating on everyone, but yeah. So she was definitely an easy choice for me.
I'd say that there's probably a fair few you could choose from. It's quite a good habit that we've instilled. I'm assuming that this has just been drilled into you guys basically since the start, but I'm imagining Franco's leading the charge on this one as well. It is always good to see, like, win, lose, or draw, regardless of where we are, home or away, it is a case of, right, everybody tidy up and then leave, rather than get home as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I think certainly just like a given. I mean, I feel like everyone in our squad wouldn't want to leave it that way as well, which is good.
Yeah, it's a bit of a military operation though, I think. We've kind of got it perfected. But especially away trips, I think as soon as the final whistle's gone, all the media duties and all the kind of coaches' wrap-ups done, I think especially the 24th men, like Ali discussed last week, they kind of kick into gear and help chisel out all the kit, make sure all the boys get their stuff packed away and, like we say, tidy the dressing room and sweep the sheds. But yeah, it's a bit easier at home, obviously, because you just have to move it about 50 metres and then it's all done. But yeah, packing the van, and then obviously they make the long trip back and forward from wherever we are. But yeah, it's a military operation in which we've perfected. But yeah, Max, I think you're right with Sheba. He's up there as one of the general good guys.
Yeah, no, certainly.
But yeah, that's who we'd have.
What I will say from that side of things is when you're talking about military operation, the one that gets me is the S&C and the medical team as well. The amount of stuff that they have to carry to and from games and pack up and set down. Like, they've got that down as a fine art.
Yeah, you see, I think it's most Wednesdays is when they pack the Pelly cases for every away game, and it's genuinely like a tick box. They've got a list which is laminated so they can obviously use it again, so you're looking after the environment. But yeah, they'll tick it off, and every week it needs to be redone and obviously set up before games as well. It's all very particular and always the same, so everybody gets in that routine and knows where anything is whenever they need it. But yeah, it's pretty nuts. Like, even like Henny, our physio, she's got like a, I don't even know what you call it, it's like a side bag thing that's stuffed full of every bit of tape that you can ever think. So she's got her own little process that she does, but yeah, there's a lot to it than just playing a game of rugby. I think a lot of the fans don't actually realise the amount of work that goes in pre-game, not for us like players and stuff, but more for support staff, S&C, and physios, and all the kit that comes with a 23-man squad.
Absolutely.
For a game day.
And we couldn't do it without anybody in that particular role. So
genuinely.
Shout out to everybody that is listening to the squadcast.
And the media team. Okay. Come on, give yourself a pat on the back.
I'll give myself a pat on the back. It's fine. I'm not going to take it for granted that, you know, you just left me to last. It's fine. Anyway, on that bombshell before this again turns into table flipping and we have to remove the ProFX V2 channel mixer that Murphy seems to have latched onto the name of, we'll call an end to this episode of the squadcast. Max, thank you very much for joining us and for taking the time. And again, congratulations on your debut, your European debut, and long may it continue, as you said yourself in the change room. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Murphy, as always, a pleasure. We will see you next week.
You'll see me next week. The original MW will be here to stay.
And I'll be here next week as well, Warrior Nation. In the meantime, thank you very much for tuning in. Our game against Bayonne is live this weekend on TNT Sports, 8 o'clock kickoff UK time, 9 p.m. out in France. And then we are back here next week at Scotstoun for the opening leg of the 1872 Cup against our old friends from along the M8, Edinburgh. We are currently sold out, but keep an eye on our social media channels in case any last minute tickets.
I've been dying to plug that, but
go for
sorry.
It. Do it. What? No, do it now.
Is there tickets for sale?
Well, I mean, there might be.
Buy your tickets.
Do it.
If there's tickets.
If there are tickets, get them before Murphy snaps them all up. Anyway, in the meantime, he's been Max Williamson. He's been Murphy Walker. I've been Craig Wright, and this has been the Glasgow Warriors Squadcast.